From the makers of Relevant Magazine, it's the Relevant Podcast, and we're live. And now from our Orlando studio, here's your host, Cameron Strang.
It's Tuesday, February 19th, 2019, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Like they said, that's new. I'm your host, Cameron Strang. Here with me in our Orlando studio on the ones and twos, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
Over there running the video stuff, Clark Flippo. Say hi, Clark. You have a mic, right?
Yep. Hey, what's up?
There you go. On the Skype line from Loverland, Virginia, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
All the way from Gatorland, Florida, Eddie Big Cat Koffoltz.
Bless you. Bless you all.
And from Nashville, Tennessee, author, speaker, podcaster, cowgirl extraordinaire, Annie Fadowns.
Good morning, gents. We're live.
We are live. Hey, tune in. If you're watching on Facebook, we're watching the comments. You can comment as we go. Little behind the scenes, this will be a little bit of a shorter episode, just a little bit of a shorter one, but not predictive of future ones. Normal length moving forward. And next week, we're going to be streaming live on multiple platforms, not just Facebook. We'll be on Periscope. We'll be live
Friendster.
At YouTube.
LinkedIn.
Google LinkedIn. Plus.
Yeah.
RIP. What could possibly go wrong? We're going to be everywhere.
And we'll be able to watch all the comments from everything in one big funnel. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I like the
interactive stuff.
It's like a lot of immediate feedback. I'll tell you that. Very professional LinkedIn.
Very professional.
What is a lot of tips,
a lot of tips about getting leads.
Yeah, what is things? What is the point
Contact
of LinkedIn?
Leads.
I like, for real, like I just had to sign up not long ago. Networking about what? What do you do?
You know, it's a lot of networking, a lot of TCB, a lot of ROI, a lot of SEO.
If you don't know what those things are, getting jobs.
Maybe yeah, if you people that are getting jobs, I'm on there. I think it's important. It's how you grow into different areas because you can find people you're connected with.
It's G-O-Bs. Just electronic resume. It's just like electronic resume. Like that's all it is.
So
it
it's monster.com,
really...
but you can like connect with other people who have the resumes.
Yeah, that's
out?
It. It's just like searchable. So if you're searching for somebody that does like, I don't know, whatever job, like accounting, it's a quick way to
a lot of
network your friends.
I literally was just saying to a friend, this is what I want to do, this thing. And she sent me two links on LinkedIn of like connect with these people because that's what they do. And I went to their LinkedIn site and connected with them.
The best way I can describe it is a lot of this, a lot of that. Little here, little there. You know what I mean?
Because if you want your calls answered and you want to land the next big one, that's what you use.
Let me say this, Cameron. I don't mean to talk in platitudes, but I feel like I'm being pretty clear. Do you want to land the big fish? If you do, jump in the big pond, LinkedIn.
I post all my bizjournal.biz articles to it.
That's right.
There you go.
So it's a great place.
Well, we have a great show coming up for you. Later.
Very disruptive.
I mentioned last week on the podcast that the Tuesday live show is going to have a little bit of a different flair than the Friday show. So it's kind of like the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn. You know, so the Tuesday show interacting, we're watching the comments. It's a little more free flowing. You can obviously follow along the video stream and all that. The segment though coming up later is going to be something from the magazine. So it might be, you know, Tori Kelly joining us because she's on the cover of the issue. It might be us bringing on the author of one of the think pieces. And so coming up later today, this is right in Jesse and Annie's wheelhouse.
Oh, yes.
The current issue of Relevant has a think piece about how young Christians disproportionately fall prey to conspiracy theories. We
have
this unbelievable like data.
Oh,
we have all these people.
Gosh.
And we're going to talk about Christians and conspiracy theories coming up later on the show today.
I'm so happy.
And I'll say this for my LinkedIn pod. The topic today is disruptive market integration. You're not going to want to miss it. It is very professional.
Jesse.
And I don't want to say like, I know that there's been a lot of talk about this between like that. There's a competition between like the Friday show and the Tuesday show.
Right.
And I think the main difference, right, between the two shows, too, is like you've got Tyler or me. And like, you know.
Wait, I haven't heard any competition between the two shows. Is it just you, Eddie?
So, but basically, just to follow up to the people that are commenting on Facebook right now.
Everyone listens to both.
Annie,
they listen to Tyler or me.
You probably haven't seen it.
Tyler doesn't have a ring light. Good point.
Listen,
that's a good point.
You probably didn't see
Annie's,
it.
Annie's ripping on me now. I hope we get comments. Go ahead.
Annie, the reason you haven't seen it because Eddie has been trashing Tyler on LinkedIn, all over the LinkedIn boards. Good luck working in this town again, Huckabee.
The other fun thing about Tuesday is normally, you know, a little behind the scenes, we have to record earlier in the week, you know? And so we have to pretend like it's the day of the podcast coming out.
Yeah.
But things happen between when we record and when it comes out. And we're not able always, you know, to have a timely discussion. But by doing it live on Tuesdays, we can be timely about what happened last night.
You know, this morning, what'd you have for breakfast? What'd you have for breakfast?
I still have my breakfast right here.
Oh, timely.
Peanut butter but, pretzels.
But like on Monday night, it's a big night for Annie Fadowns. The Bachelor's airing on Monday nights. What are you following along, Annie?
I am. I like this episode. I like it fine. I like Colton. I think he's
okay.
Nice
I was just
dude.
Wondering. I actually tuned in last night. I haven't really been watching, but I caught up last night. I was wondering what you thought about the season and
the girls are spending a lot of time talking about each other more than talking to Colton.
I have a question. I have a question about The Bachelor.
Okay.
I haven't watched it, I saw trending on Twitter. And I actually saw a clip the other night. I was watching basketball or something, and they showed a Bachelor clip, and it was Colton. Who jumping evidently is the Bachelor, and he's jumping over this fence
over
and running away and running away. And
did that happen already?
And there's like, but there's like shaky camera of like an episode of Cops or Live PD. Like
I know.
Colton's bird dogging.
We don't
Colton's
know.
Bird dogging.
They have shown us that every week since week one, Jesse, and we still don't know why he jumps over the fence.
Sometimes it's really hard there. Sometimes it's just you got to get away.
We don't even know where the fence is. It's one of the most interesting, hilarious things to watch on Twitter every Monday night because everyone tries to figure out if Colton has on the outfit that we have seen when he jumps over the fence. And so far, he has not had on the outfit. And then you go, oh my gosh, another episode where Colton doesn't jump over the fence. I tweeted about it last night about how frustrating it is that Colton didn't jump over the fence.
Last night, Kiki, one of our listeners who interacts with us on Twitter a lot, said, tweeted me and said, all caps, Cassie was on a Christian dating docuseries. This is the hard-hitting reporting I need from Relevant. Did you know about this, Annie?
No.
Cassie, the blonde.
Well, yeah, you don't have to tell me who Cassie is. So
I didn't know. So The Bachelor's Cassie stars in another reality series, and it's an... Okay, so it's a Christian dating series.
Yeah, was it the Natalie Grant show? The church set him up in church show?
It's an online... Christian dating docuseries called Young Ones, and it's airing its second season right now throughout February and March in tandem with weekly episodes of The Bachelor.
How do I
and
not
she's
know this?
On it too. So it's set in Southern California, and Young Ones follows a group of young Christians, including Cassie and her now ex-boyfriend Kaylin Deongson, as they face love, friendships, and career decisions while navigating the way faith plays a role in their daily lives.
Are they there's the stars, the two of them?
I think there's other couples as well, but the first season was released back in 2016, and it follows the group as they attend Biola University, a private Christian school that encourages students to not drink or do drugs or have sex. So there's 8 episodes on season 1, and most of them touch on Cassie and her former boyfriend's on-again, off-again relationship. And then now the second season was filmed last summer, and they're airing it online.
And Cassie's on it again.
Uh-huh.
Have we run out of reality stars? Are there just no more Americans left?
I think it has less to do with how many people and more to do with the type of people who want to be on the shows.
I have a question.
What do you mean by that?
What network is this Christian reality show on?
It says an online docuseries. You can probably just Google it. Young Ones is what
it's called.
That
sounds sketchy. I'm always a little reserved about online docuseries.
Well, can you imagine the casting call? Like, I'm doing an online series. I want you to come. I want to film you dating. I mean,
you're probably, if you're on this site, it's because of my provocative Craigslist ad. Now, if you came from LinkedIn, there's the door.
I'm so surprised Biola would like be behind that, and they'd have to be behind it to some degree for it to be all their students and filmed on their campus. That feels like
maybe they just went gorilla.
A weird
they
turn
just filmed it there.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, no, it's way easier to just film stuff and not ask permission.
Cassie. Okay. Well, we should get her on the show then.
Well,
Last
night was dripping with Christians because Ben Higgins made a cameo.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yes.
Oh, Ben Higgy. He's a nice man.
I know. He was great on your show. Annie has been. You say it, Jesse. Say it.
Yeah. So. He was on New Activist, and now Annie is trying to get him on
That Sounds Fun.
On
yes,
your
I
show.
Am.
And. And now we just found out that he is no longer technically a bachelor, right?
No, yeah, he's still that's a bachelor. He's just dating. No, he's just dating. Who cares?
I don't know. I'm on Bachelor Nation and I follow all their stuff. And there's just a lot of rumors
on the boards. I've been on the Bachelor boards on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And I've never seen the show, but I really enjoy the boards.
Bachelor Nation, which is a lot to say. It's a lot to say that you.
The only nation
that's
I'm
real
involved
inside lingo.
Yeah. I'm really into chat rooms and always have been. Oh. So,
Brianne
Everyone
Blanchard.
Believes you. That's the thing right now. Everyone believes you, Eddie.
Yeah. Following along, Brianne Blanchard, one of the commenters on the Facebook stream, confirms the show is through Biola.
Oh, thanks, Brianne. Wow.
Also, Brandon Smith said, dripping with Christians is the new slogan for Christian Mingle. So there you go.
Also, Tyler Huckabee is watching. So apparently someone needed to go to school. Welcome, Tyler.
Oh,
all right, we'll move the show along. We have more of a succinct format this week. So moving the show along, it is time for...
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right, I have one that's a little controversial that I'm interested in your guys' opinion on. And it takes place right there in the great state of Florida, where that brings us so many great internet stories. I mean, there should be... Florida should have its own internet, and you can just navigate there, and it's all stuff, all the good stuff that you want to find on the internet, because Florida just produces it. And it's across the spectrum. It's like weird news. It's like animal news. And now it's
Florida.
It's interesting political news because there is a bill that Florida lawmakers have proposed. And here's what it require: that each school district offer elective courses with Bible and Christianity as their sole focus. So if this gets passed, it would be required in Florida public schools that an elective course on Christianity would be taught in the school system.
But not required because it's an elective for the students, but it would be required to be offered. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So required to be offered.
Yeah. So so one of the bill's sponsors, her name is Mel Ponder, said the Bible. Here's her explanation for it. The Bible has played in our nation's history as such a significant role in how the nation was formed. It's a part of our historical framework. Some of the principles of the Bible helped frame our Constitution. It was the standard. Another of the co-sponsors of the bill, Kimberly Daniels, a representative, she's the one who was involved in legislation that instructed Florida public schools to display the words, "In God we trust," on school. So now that's a law down there, too. So an elective that requires schools to offer classes, public schools, in Bible and Christianity. I'm interested to know, this is a controversial topic, and I have my own opinions about it, but around the table, I'm looking at your looks. What do you guys think about this proposed law in Florida?
Did y'all read Jonathan Merritt wrote a piece about this, about requiring Bible in public schools? It's a great piece. You should read it. But one of the things he says is Christians actually won't like this because it's not like the spiritual side of the Bible is going to be taught. It's going to be taught as a textbook. And so we think it sounds awesome, but it's actually not going to be taught. It's going to be taught historically in a way that will also not make Christians happy. So
It's not like there's going to be like a flannel graph up there and we're like going through. That would be amazing, actually.
But a preacher's not going to do it. You know, it's going to be a historical text, and it's going to, the spiritual side of it cannot be removed, but will not be taught.
Yeah.
And so it was a great piece. Yeah.
Well, that's and probably a lot. Yeah. Probably a lot of the people that are teaching it, you know, just statistically wouldn't be professing Christians, and so would have real no motive to kind of show things like apparent historical discrepancies in the Bible, or you know what some people would perceive as like contradiction. So yeah, I could really see it going south. Eddie, you live in the state there and you have a very interesting look on your face. What do you think of this legislation?
Well, first of all, of course, I mean, Florida is bananas, so of course this would be I'm not at all surprised that this is a part of like what's happening in the Florida legislature. I think what bothers me, what kind of hit me the most, is that it's required to be taught or required to be an elective. Because if it was like, okay, it's part of a complement of all kinds of electives that you
like
can
world
take
religions.
I think that's kind of interesting. And I would love to see, I'd love to see my own kids be able to take, to understand world religions, and love for them to be able to study the Bible as a textbook in school. But it's the fact that it's required just makes me feel I don't have an articulate
required
way to say
to be
this
offered?
Required to be an
problem?
Elective
Do you think that, I mean, would you have a problem if it was required? I don't know why that's a problem.
The kids can choose to not take it. It's just the school has to offer it,
right? But then the school doesn't also have to offer like, why doesn't the school also have to offer like a study of the Quran?
Yeah.
Why doesn't the school, like, it's the fact that the school has to make it available feels gross to me.
Well, that's probably just the start of that situation happening where they do have to offer the study of the Quran. They do have offer.
I would say that that would not happen.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen either.
I don't know. I've never lived in Florida on purpose, but I mean, it may happen.
But I mean, this isn't just in Florida. I mean, the president tweeted, you know, in the last week and a half or so that he thinks it's that Bible should be taught back in schools. Like, the conversation isn't around world religions. The conversation isn't, should we, you know, look at Buddhist texts or the Quran. It is exclusively about the Bible, which I think that's what kind of makes this problematic, because it seems to favor one religion over the other. And framing it as if it's, you know, this part of American history that you can't learn American history without knowing the historical context of the Bible, which obviously a lot of the people who first settled the country were Christians and came for religious reasons. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Bible itself has to be taught to understand that context.
The comments on the live feed are...
Oh, I'm sure they're all really, really into it.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Merritt posted his article in The Atlantic. I have a LinkedIn rant that got me, that got some heat from the higher ups there.
Got you banned for 2 months, but
I got a hard ban. They found my burner accounts. And LinkedIn, I'm persona non grata on LinkedIn anymore. So if you wanted to hear the rest of my take, I would say go there. But I featured it in a conveniently listed Craigslist ad for an internet reality show. Click at your own risk. That's the name of the show.
Click at your own risk.
Jesse has several Finsta accounts. He also has a FinkedIn account where he can really love those.
Oh, FinkedIn. Well done, Cameron.
All right. What do you have, Annie?
Well, very important. I mean, I feel like this probably rivals what Jesse brought to the table, but there is a new... Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I know what it is, and that's why I'm getting so much enjoyment out of it, because this is as significant as what's happening in our country right now is what you're about to tell us.
Jesse looks like Magnum P.I. kind of right now, except for the shirt.
But he's got the Selleck.
Except for the shirt.
Dude, I one day wore this with a more floral pattern shirt. Like, this is not a Detroit Tigers hat. This is sort of an homage to it. And somebody was like, dude, you look like Magnum P.I. today. And I take that as the highest compliment.
He's gently, it's more of an homage than it is an impersonation. But there's definitely a movement towards
that. What you can't see in the live feed is he's wearing very, very short white shorts.
Oh, there.
That's right.
They are, and I don't want to describe them in detail, but they are shocking.
And
shocking.
I will say this. I recorded half of this from the front seat of a Pontiac Grand Am, and the other hanging off the side of a helicopter over Hawaii. So it is
a really cool helicopter
over Hawaii,
with like a little bubble glass.
The entirety of Hawaii.
Yeah, he's just kind of looping it. Yeah.
Yeah, doing a loop. We're just doing a pod loop is what I call it. You know?
Pod loop.
Yeah.
What do you have, Annie?
Over the headquarters of LinkedIn down there. Yeah.
First of all, Annie, I'm so sorry I interrupted. I really value you and love to hear your slice now.
It's hard to take you serious when we can see your ring light reflection in your glasses.
Ring light, second burn. This face doesn't light itself.
And when he says burn, he actually means his retinas because it's burned this morning.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are all effervescent and just glow. I have to create light.
I did create this. There's situations on the other side of this. It's just not a ring light in my glasses.
Yeah. It's just you guys want the Bible in schools and I'd prefer to keep it out. And so I'm pretty dark over here.
Looking at it, one elephant, just looking at a bunch of different sides, Eddie. Is that what you're...
All right, okay, Annie, what do you got?
Here's my slice. Did you guys know the University of Arizona just did this research study that I think is going to come in handy for all of us, that they put fruit and cheesecake at the start of the cafeteria line, and the people who picked cheesecake ate 30% fewer calories in their main dish than people who pick fruit. So what I'm saying is you should eat dessert first, which is going to go in handy when we all go to the Peeps Factory coming up in April. But the other thing about this research article that I found interesting, where they say, like, yes, you should eat dessert first because then you will eat less calories in your main meal. The interesting part is they only involved 134 participants. Feels like a small number to make such a big decision.
And they were all 9-year-old children. Yes. We're like, yeah, okay, we're
they're
fine.
They should have said
they're all diabetics as well.
So. Every single one of them.
No, but the implication is if you eat or order your dessert first, then then you eat less.
They picked healthier main courses.
I've always thought it was weird. Because you're thinking of the balance of it all. Like, I know I want to enjoy that, so I'm going to have a little bit less of this. Whereas if you didn't have that decision made until the end of the line, you're loading up your plate and then you get, I want that too, but now you've got way more. Interesting that it's like that, I want to splurge tonight, so I'll diet today sort of a thing. You know, that it's like that mindset of I know what's coming. So it's not that they have to eat it first. They have to select it or decide first. It.
That's right.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm just encouraging you to eat it first. I'm just being helpful. But I'm just being a helpful friend.
Yeah, I do. Because I've gone to a restaurant where they have like the specials out for dessert, and I'm a big sweets guy. You know, most of my diet is sugar. Huh. Oh yeah. Oh totally. Huh. Totally.
I could do without it. It's the really? I like other. Oh yeah.
Are you a salty chip guy?
Yeah.
I'm a sweets guy. But you get that. Anyhow, I interrupted. I'm sorry, Jesse.
Either way, I've always thought it was a weird construct. Like, who decided we should eat dessert first? Anyway, like, why not? Why? I mean, it just seems so arbitrary to me. I know it'd be weird, but who cares? Like, if I just want to eat, like, okay, here's the deal. When I go to Subway or Pita Pit, both those establishments, they make your sandwich, but they give you the cookies that you order with the combo first. I always eat the cookie while they're making my sandwich. And then I tap on the glass, like, come on now, like on the sneeze guard, like, pack it in. I always eat the cookies first. I'm always extremely impatient and unkind.
I think you're the only person I've ever met that goes to Pita Pit, by the way. Yeah. This episode brought to you by Pita Pit. But I just did not know. Is there one close to your home, I guess?
Of course, there's a Pita Pit by my home. Yeah, there's a civilization.
Yeah,
I don't know where one is in
this town.
They
found their house through a series of triangulating Pita Pits.
I got on this Zillow. I had this Zillow deal with Pita Pit that I shot to LinkedIn. it went south quickly, but
the home market in the Pita Pit market, hottest home. Yeah, it's really smart.
It's these circles around Pita Pits, and they get colder and colder the further out.
The public schools
I always eat.
The public schools are terrible. The house is in terrible shape. But I mean,
but
any direction you walk, you're going to run into a Pita Pit.
The public schools, all they teach is Bible classes. It's not going to be helpful for my kids for college.
You know, I don't like that they do at Pita Pit. Everybody at Pita Pit always wants what are those little little vegetables that are like little strawy little vegetables that are
alfalfa
little
sprouts?
Yeah, little pieces of floss, like bitter sprouts. Floss. And they're so gross. And people always want those on pitas. It's like a thing.
And they're
thing
not very clean, to be clear. You actually probably shouldn't put sprouts on your stuff because they are very difficult to clean.
I'm going to require my public school to feed my children those because I think
make sure
important.
They wash them.
Yeah. All right. All right. What do you have, Eddie?
Chandler?
You pre-planned it.
Of all the days for me to do a revelation. Today's the day. You know, every once in a while, I like to bring a slice that just kind of reminds us that we are moving towards the end. And it's biblical. My kids just learned it in school. And there's two things I just want to bring up really quickly. I'm going to do a two for today, so I'm going to move through it. Some scientists out of a university that I can't find because I just got nervous that I'm pushing the envelope here. Oh, University of Roehampton. Scientists have been studying chimpanzees, and they have found that these chimpanzees are beginning to use some very complex human speech patterns. One is called Menzerth's Law, and the other one is called Zipf's Law of Abbreviation. And this is a natural, naturally occurring speech and language processing that really complex beings do. Pretty much only humans do this. Anyhow, they have found that chimpanzees are starting to do this, which means we are nearing the end. Chandler, play my song, please. Thank you. This is real.
What's your real one, Eddie? Yeah.
I mean, that was real, and the chimpanzees are synthesizing language. But the other slice that I want to bring, I'm going to post it for just a second. But there is a very interesting study out. From Edith Cowan University, and they were studying eye contact. Now, would you all say, or do you tell your children or whatever, that you need to make eye contact in order to, like, you know, be a good conversationalist.
My children are not permitted to make eye contact with me until the age, until 13, when they both become legal adults in my
eyes. It's kind of like a bar mitzvah.
That's when they, that's you have when a you ceremony. Let them start driving in Virginia.
You have a ceremony at age 13, where they, at the end of the ceremony, are allowed to look you in the eye for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, well, they can see how disappointed I am at their Bible knowledge, despite exclusive courses from ages 5 to now.
Well, I will say that one of the things we were always saying to our kids when we're, like, walking into an event is make sure you look them in the eye and be brave. And so, you know, they're trying to use their big girl voice.
Oh, you really say that? You say look them in the eye and be brave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so trying to help them be a little bit adult, but also they don't have to, like, yell and be who they don't want to be. But we're going to try to get them to answer questions and look at people in the eye. Well, this study actually showed that looking people at the in the eye. Now, granted, like this other study, there were only 46 participants, which I don't know is statistically significant. Feels like maybe you want to get a couple hundred.
Close enough.
But it's,
you know, weirdly, they all have diabetes as well. Right. Just a weird luck of the draw.
You know, it's out of a school I've never heard of, and it was on boingboing.net. So I'm sure that this is going to be just fine. God. But basically, the study showed that there was absolutely no... there was absolutely no science behind eye contact being effective or not. So they did all these experiments and they were looking at each other, not in the eye. People were looking away, looking at their forehead, looking at people's nose, not looking at them in the eye. Nobody reported any increase or decrease in satisfaction. And so to that end, you guys just don't need to look people in the eye anymore.
You know,
Doug McGregor says, my children can't see my eyes because of the reflection of the ring light in my glasses.
Classic. Classic McGregor.
What I like to do, especially someone I don't really know, is I just keep on their toes a little. So I like to look right in the middle of their forehead and watch them try to move into my eye line throughout the conversation. Bobbing and weaving like a boxer.
Super
see if
weird.
They can catch it, you know?
Was that Doug McGregor?
Yeah, Doug McGregor.
That's the same Doug that said that, who reminded us all that the one of the first acts of the Supreme Court was printing Bibles to be put in school. So, come on, Doug. Let's just settle down with my ring light.
Brandon Smith says, I only make a direct eye contact with the cashier at Pita Pit. You know, so.
But that's more of an intimidation
move. That's when I scowl. And I'm leaning forward over the sneeze guard, progressively closer, the longer she takes to fold that pita.
Yeah, and not blinking at all.
Unblinking, jamming chocolate chip cookies into my mouth, and pointing at the peppers I want. More peppers!
I dare you to put an alfalfa sprout in that.
Peppers.
I dare you.
Peppers.
I like to get a real hard look at the ingredients, too. So I lean all the way over the sneeze guard and get my face right up near them. I want to smell them. I want the whole thing. It's like a wine tasting. You know, you're going to swear. I need to get all up in those ingredients to know which ones I want. I want to know how fresh that tzatziki is.
This is great. I love live commenting. Doug then followed up with history. So we've got him all riled up about the Supreme Court Bible, and this is live, and you can't stop me. So keep going, Doug.
Yeah, I can. I can't stop you. You have to stop.
All right,
this
I'll stop.
Amazing. All right. We're moving the show along. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, we talk about Christians and conspiracy theories. Today's episode of Relevant Podcast Live is brought to you by Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, Eddie. Quip is a better electric...
I haven't brushed my teeth since '09, and I'm fine.
Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. I use Quip every day. It's wonderful. It's one of the best designed. I should have it here with me to show you guys since this is video. It's one of the best designed appliances in my house. Is it an appliance? Is it an electric toothbrush an appliance?
Yeah.
What's cool about the Quip is it has sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums. A lot of people don't know this, but they brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. So a Quip is like more gentle and it's pulsing. It also has a built-in 2-minute timer, which pulses every 30 seconds to remind you kind of when to switch sides. And and all that. Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or even clean well.
But you're missing the best quip thing, though.
What?
Is it sticks on the mirror.
Yeah.
So that it's like way outside of all of your gross bathroom stuff.
It's just a little thing.
It's out of the splash zone.
It's great. Out of the splash zone. That's great.
They may not say that that's their best feature, but I think that that's a really cool thing that they do.
Someone thought that up and everybody went, yeah, you're right. We should do it that way.
The cool thing about Quip is also that brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. Most of us, 3 out of 4 of us, have used bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective, and Quip solves that. And right now, Quip is offering a special deal to Relevant Podcast listeners. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/relevant right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/relevant. Go check it out. All right. Well, then, you know, we mentioned that the new segment that we're going to be doing every week on the Tuesday show is going to draw back from the current issue of Relevant. I happen to have the Tori Kelly issue right here with me.
Cameron, do you know what I think about the new magazine? Are you looking at me?
Yeah, I'm looking right at you.
Eye contact.
Poof. Heart. I can put an icon.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Eddie's figured out that Skype has emoji reactions.
Eddie, stuff like that got me kicked off LinkedIn. It's very unprofessional.
But one of the pieces in the issue is on conspiracy theories. In future weeks, we will have a fancy graphic showing you this, but I figure I'll do it DIY style. And look at that gorgeous design. Conspiracy theories, new issue of Relevant. And it was written by our very own Jessica Stevens. But Jesse, this is a passion project for you, and I figured you would be the one who should deliver us or tell us about this thing that's happening about young Christians getting duped into conspiracy theories more than other people. It's crazy.
Yeah, so this was a fun one to kind of help work on. It started by, you know, I think kind of anecdotally, and this is something we talked about on the podcast, like you saw how many people just like actually in my newsfeed were like toying with becoming flat earthers and how a lot of them were actually Christians. And then kind of more.
A lot of them are actually podcast host here. Sometimes I toy with it. I just toy with it. I don't think it's true. I just toy with it.
And Cameron, one of the other anecdotes, this was actually in the story, is the individual who, you know, this is so on the kind of the lighter end of the spectrum is something like the flat earth. And then, you know, heavier is, you know, the young guy, the 20 something who went into Comet Pizza in DC armed with, you know, heavily armed and believed it to be the site of this, you know, human trafficking ring. Right. And because of conspiracies he read on the internet, he was online prior to that saying it was his faith, his Christian faith, that was motivating him to take action. So we kind of looked at some of those anecdotes, but actually found that the more religious someone is, the higher propensity they have to believe in conspiracy theories. And so we wanted to dig into why that is to a degree. And especially, you know, it's especially prevalent among young Christians. And so I got to talk to, for the piece that I was helping out with his name is Dr. Daniel Jolly, and he's a professor at Staffordshire University. And his whole field is studying the psychology of,
His last name is Jolly for real.
Dr. Jolly. His real name, he's an English conspiracy theory professor named Dr. Jolly.
That's perfect.
That was the other reason we had to do the piece. And he was in consideration for the cover and it just would say Dr. Jolly. One thing that he's noticed is that the internet has actually accelerated this because people find pockets of people who think like-minded like them. So if you're a Christian and follow other Christians online, it's going to lend itself to falling into some of these conspiracy theories. We can actually hear a clip of what he had to say.
Well, it's worth noting that conspiracies have been around for thousands of years. They're definitely not a new phenomenon. They've been, you know, rhetoric for a very long time. But what I think has happened potentially is the internet has made them more global than ever before. People are able to talk with someone almost instantly after something happens. Let's say someone dies or there's a big event. People can actually talk and debate that instantly, which is something that could never happen before. previously was sending letters to the newspaper or sending letters to each other. That's how people kind of talks about conspiracies. Whereas obviously today, right now, we can go on Twitter and instantly communicate with people. So there is a debate whether they've become more popular, and I sort of sit on the fence of it because I definitely agree that they're more mainstream, and in essence they're in our consciousness more than ever before, but they've always been around. So politics has always kind of been around. It's just they've been made to be more highlighted now, potentially via the ease of information.
So like one example of what we saw is like after, you know, like a mass shooting or something, instantly people will start theorizing it's just like a false flag operation. And, you know, some of the leading proponents of that, like Alex Jones, who we mentioned in the piece, it actually has a big appeal among a Christian audience and actually professes to be a Christian and says that it's anti-Christian motivations that have motivated some of these conspiracies.
Oh, I love all of this. This is awesome. Yeah. Did you love that conversation, Jesse?
Oh, totally.
Were you in heaven the whole time?
How did you keep up with it? I had a hard time like keeping up with his accent. How did you like that?
Yeah, because he must be from directly to the right of us, according to flat earthers, right?
Yeah. So the other thing too is how the role that confirmation bias plays in all of this. And so, like, if here's for example, like we talked about earlier, if you believe we are in a culture war, and that one side is trying to denigrate your faith. Even if you believe a little bit of that, you're more likely to believe conspiracies that play into that. So like there is a liberal conspiracy in Hollywood because of confirmation bias. Here's what Dr. Jolly had to say.
We obviously have many biases in our mind that kind of try and make us understand the complex world that is our world. And obviously one of those biases is confirmation bias, where in essence, you just find information that supports your viewpoint. And things that go against your viewpoint, you discredit or ignore. So what people have found is that with social media, typically people just follow accounts that are similar to them. So are the same politics or kind of the same viewpoint as they do. So they're only receiving messages that support their belief. And things that say discredit it or say, actually, no, that's not true, or whatever it is, they don't follow them. They don't listen or talk to them, which is something that we're all guilty of. And even myself, I'm sure all my social media is just geared towards how I think. But that obviously leads to us being in kind of a isolated barrel where we're not necessarily questioning our beliefs or looking for alternatives. So the internet can be wide reaching, but still you may only focus on your particular niche that speaks to your viewpoint.
That is
interesting.
Yeah. Jolly indeed.
Yeah. So the other kind of illuminating thing, I know we need to move on, and people can read the whole thing in the magazine or on the website right now. But if you look at some of the insidious origins of a lot of these conspiracy theories, date back to things that were anti-Semitic propaganda, about one, you know, elitist one world governments controlling banking systems and the entertainment industry. And, a lot of them have their origins in, like I said, anti-Semitic propaganda. And that's why, people need to be really careful about the things they entertain, because you're only a couple steps away from believing some really horrible stuff. The whole piece
buzzkill, Jess.
Yeah, seriously, that was the worst segue ever. Really horrible stuff.
So anyway, I'm just saying.
I'm just not sure the Earth is round. Okay, Jesse.
I'll say this: Dr. Jolly has a very ironic name because it's a very heavy topic. He should have been like the professor of juggling or something. You know, like he's a British guy, guy with an awesome accent. And his name is Dr. Jolly, and he could have been a doctor of anything, but it's conspiracy theories. But anyway, so you can read the rest of them.
Yeah, go check it out. Yeah. You can, like Jesse mentioned, you can view the entire issue of Relevant online at relevantmagazine.com. You also can pick it up at newsstands nationwide. The new issue is about to release, so if you find the Tori Kelly issue still in stock, clear it out for us. Make some room for them.
We saw there's another great, I know we're out of time, but there was a great article in it about the history of genocide with Professor Snuggles. So really enjoy that.
Well done.
All right,
go
check it out. Stay tuned. All right.
This episode of the Relevant Podcast is brought to you by Lipscomb University. At Lipscomb University, Their online programs are shaped by a commitment to creating a better future. And with multiple undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs to choose from, you can define what that future looks like. Plus, you earn the same academically rigorous degree you'd get on their campus with the flexibility to fit your life. Listen, at Relevant, we believe in you, the listener. We know you're ready to lead. So you can pursue your goals and a better world at Lipscomb Online. Visit lipscomb.edu/online to learn more. That's lipscomb.edu/online.
All right, well, normally right here on the Live Tuesday show, we would have a game or our Listener of the Week. And we had planned not one, but two Listeners of the Week this week. But because of some technical issues, we got started a little late, but we have a hard out. We got to wrap the show up. So we are going to bump it to next Tuesday. We're very sorry to Matt Damon, who was waiting on the line to join us as a Listener of the Week this week.
He was so excited, too.
He was. He really was. Big fan. I didn't realize.
He's a big fan of Dr. Jolly's work.
He'll be playing Dr. Jolly in an upcoming film that we are producing. Yeah. I'm announcing it here.
So make sure to tune in next Tuesday for the live podcast. We're going to be broadcasting from now on at 10:30 Eastern time every Tuesday morning. The live feed will go from 10:30 to about noon or up to noon on the live show. And we will make up the listener participation segment to you next week. Trust us. We have some ideas. But and then too, remember next week I mentioned that the live stream will be on multiple platforms and we'll be able to see all the interactions and comments coming from all the different sources. So we will be tweeting out links to all the different places that you can follow along. It'll be on YouTube, Instagram TV, Periscope, Facebook.
My children's school will be there.
It'll be there.
All kids will have to watch it.
Have to.
A forced, required elective to watch it live. Required. I actually saw I saw a few people going, Kiki Gibb just did a frowny face on the comment because she was one of the ones that was.
She was on the 10-year show. She's been show more than Annie. She's fine.
She's a good sport.
Yeah. She is a good sport. But it was funny. I was speaking to school. I was watching people going, I got to go to class. Should I stay or should I go? It was like, just skip it.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, for sure. Stick with us and Dr. Jolly.
Hey, many thanks to Quip for sponsoring the episode. Remember, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/relevant right now, you get your first refill pack for free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/relevant. I should spell relevant, R-E-L-E-V-A-N-T, for those of you who don't know. There you go.
I feel like that's natural selection, though. I mean,
can't do that, they don't deserve to brush their teeth.
Go ahead and just
keep it rolling, Cameron.
Thanks also to Dr. Dan Jolly for joining us. Check out more of our conversation with him and other experts about conspiracy theories and Christianity and the current issue of Relevant. You can view it online at relevantmagazine.com or you can pick it up at the Relevant store if you want to buy the issue as well. You can go to store.relevantmagazine.com. If you want to see Relevant in your community, we want to hear from you. We actually offer special partner distribution and would love to partner with you. We can have it sent to your college, your young adult service, or any place where Relevant people are gathering. We can help you get the magazine there. Go to relevantmagazine.com/podpartner and we can chat about getting some complimentary copies to your event or your
wherever
nonprofit.
Two or more are gathered, you are able to sign up.
So relevantmagazine.com/podpartner. Also, we're doing a Relevant Podcast fan subscription sale for fans only. You can get your first 6 months of the magazine for only $6 by going to relevantmagazine.com/podfan. Also, big news, if you haven't checked it out, today, this morning, we debuted Relevant Daily, our new daily 10-minute video show and audio podcast every morning, where we're going to be bringing you the latest news happening at the intersection of faith and culture every day. You should tune in. Go over to Facebook, Relevant's Facebook page right now. You can watch the debut episode, or you can find it at relevantmagazine.com as well. So where you get your audio podcast, just search for Relevant Daily, and you can subscribe and you watch the video every morning. You can just be laying in bed watching Jesse telling you all the stuff you need to know for the day. It's really great.
You're great at it too, Jesse. Wow, you're really good at it.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Interesting sell.
There you go. All right. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Eddie Koffoltz.
And I'm Annie F. Downs.
We will see you on Friday. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.